Maybe you portrayed a shepherd or a wise man, Mary or Joseph, certainly probably sang in a choir. You know, we've heard that story so much. And even here in the States, Christmas music, sometimes Halloween, you start hearing it in the stores over and over. Imagine for a moment what it would be like to hear that story for the very first time. To hear what God did for us in sending Jesus Christ, Mary and Joseph, and all that goes with it. When I was serving as executive director of our denomination, about second or third year, we established a relationship with a group of people in South Africa called the Hazabi people. They were an isolated warrior tribe that still had ongoing wars with other tribes in their area. And they were so isolated, they had never heard about God or Jesus or anything. And a couple of missionaries from one of our churches made contact with them. And over the next year or so, they were able to share the gospel. They would literally go and spend a week at a time. And it took 4 days to go from their city that they lived in to get to the Hazabi people. And it involved going for a day and a half in a Jeep, and then getting in a canoe and going across the river, and then going from hiking through the woods to find where they were camped, because they were nomadic. And they would stay with them for about a week and share and talk and try to build relationships. And all of a sudden we got back that some of them had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And one of the tools that we sent with these missionaries was this small MP3 device called the Treasure. And on the Treasure were the Gospels and the Book of Acts and some Bible lessons. And they were solar powered so that they could sit there and listen to that with earbuds, or if they had a place where they had electricity, that we sent a little amp, they could plug that in and the sun would recharge the batteries. But I've often thought what it must have been like to hear the Christmas story from them for the very first time, especially if they've accepted Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden to see all the prophecies and the talk in the Bible studies about what had happened. So as we begin to go through the Bible story, imagine what it would be like in your mind that this is the first time that you ever heard this is how Jesus Christ came to the earth. As we read from Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8 and go down to 15. And in the same region, there were some shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, I pray that your Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts. May we hear these words of the shepherds and the angels proclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ to Bethlehem, to be born, to lie in a manger, and to live the perfect life for the purpose of our salvation. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that this may become so real to us and exciting that joy would just bubble over as we share with those around us. Use me as an instrument of your grace. Speak through me the truth of your word, that all that is shared would be from you. In Christ's name, amen. The Gospel of Luke is written by Luke, the doctor, for a friend, Theophilus, who was probably a Gentile, well-known Gentile ruler or a wealthy man that was well-known, that was curious about Jesus Christ. So Luke investigates, and we also see in the book of Acts he does the same thing for the first century church. And Luke begins to investigate and searches out eyewitness accounts of Jesus Christ and his life. Now, it's possible, because what I read, that the shepherds were probably very young men that were on that field, it's possible that in his research he actually could have interviewed an actual shepherd who had been there that night. We don't know that. That's just my maybe 21st century speculation. But imagine what that must have been like if you did. To sit there and talk to his, you wouldn't believe what happened. And to relate this story firsthand. The story of Mary and Joseph is unfolding. They have traveled to Bethlehem because Herod had decreed a registration for taxes, fulfilling the prophecy that Bethlehem would be the place that Jesus would be born, the city of David, where David was born. Fulfilling the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, of ancient days. Bethlehem, small town. It's what we would call in southern Georgia a one light town. You know, you kind of go through it, don't blink or you'll miss it mentality. Probably one commentator said maybe 100 people there. But all the prophecies about the Messiah focusing on the importance of Jesus being born of the lineage of David, and thus, because of the decree, they had to go to their hometown. That would be Bethlehem. And Jesus, in his life, fulfilling all the prophecies, over 300 prophecies about how Jesus would come and things he would do in his life, Jesus fulfilled those. So we see this message to the angels was a message about a great thing that was happening, a thing that literally would change the world. And this message was for everyone. See in your bulletin the title, "The Christmas is for Nobodies and Somebodies." It wasn't that the angels appeared to the rulers or to the scribes and Pharisees, but he appeared to some angels on the side of a hillside to announce this message. Now, the wise men heard about the message from countries far away, as we sang already, you know, and they began to make the journey to find Jesus, but the shepherds were there that night. Now, if we wanted to share something that we wanted everybody to know and hear, we probably wouldn't have started with the shepherds. We wouldn't have chose them. You know, for us, we just posted on Facebook. And then everybody would say, oh, that's just AI. Can't believe any of that. Or maybe we would found, you know, we'd have found the town gossip. That's the best way to share things. Just share it, you know, share it with the town gossip. It would have spread like wildfire. Or we'd have called the news agencies. They may or may not have printed it, even in today. But it was the shepherds. The shepherds in a field in the region of Judea near Bethlehem. Now, shepherds were not on the society page. They weren't those that would have been invited to the good parties, like we had yesterday afternoon, by the way. They were not known as the most honest or trustworthy group. The Pharisees actually listed the shepherds among the six professions that were the most untrustworthy profession of their day. You couldn't even use their testimony in a legal matter in a court of their day. They were not trusted in a universal way. Usually they were very young men. They were employed to sit with the sheep at night. So the great news was given to not our chosen groups, but one that God chose to tell of the arrival of the Messiah that night. Now the Jews have been waiting for a Messiah for centuries. And Jesus came for everyone, and the announcement came to the lowly and even to the wise men. It was announced, but it had been proclaimed in the prophecies to prepare for his coming. So we see the angels there on the side of a hill watching their sheep. And I'm sure after a long day of marching the sheep around and getting them water and getting them food and getting everything, they were sitting there in the quiet of the night around a fire. And the angel appeared. Now, over and over we see in Scripture, what's the response to an angel appearing? Fear, which was natural for the shepherds. Almost always the response is to be afraid. Now, it's not a natural occurrence for all of a sudden to be in the presence of an angel. And angels, no matter what Hallmark or whatever want to portray, are not big fat babies sitting on a cloud with a perfectly white diaper. The reality is angels are probably more warlike and powerful in their presentation as we see them. Certainly we see that people were afraid. And for the shepherds in the side of the hillshore in the dark, all of a sudden a bright light that filled the sky with an angel appearing before them, brought them into fear. Think about the others who had seen an angel: Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, even Mary, mother of Jesus. Mary's a young teenager, and an angel appeared to her. His first statements were, "Fear not." So the message from the angels is to the shepherds. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled." And in verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" The message to all the people. Now, speculation is that this is probably Gabriel that spoke to them. Now, we know that Gabriel spoke to Daniel and to Zechariah and to Mary, and it's possible that it was Gabriel that produced this message for them. And the great message was the good news of Jesus Christ coming, and it was going to be for all classes of people. Jews and Gentiles needed to hear this message as he shared it. It was great news for everyone. Great joy shall be to all the people. Eugene Peterson said, this is the translation, "I am here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide." And the reality is not only worldwide, but timeless. A message that all needed to hear. The message was given to everyone, but as most messages, we must hear it, we must receive it, and we must want it. Have you ever been to one of those gatherings where somebody invites you for dinner and all of a sudden they break out the displays and the presentation and you sit there and go, "I wish we'd just gone to Starbucks." You know, I don't know that it's worth that to hear this. We've got to be willing and ready to hear that message. Lifeguards talk about saving people, and one of the things in training, I remember years ago, they will tell you is you can't save someone that's fighting you. And as you approach them, you have to literally hold off, because if you get too close to them, they will grab you and take you under to do that. So as you're approaching, you've got to almost wait for them to get to the end of their ability to fight to be able to get a hold of them and to bring them to shore, to safety. For many people don't know they need a Savior. And we face that in the world that we live today. Or they're trying to save themselves. They have this mentality that they're going to negotiate with God. You know, I do so much good compared to the little bit of bad that I do, I'm going to squeak into the kingdom of God. Well, the message of the good news of the shepherd, where there was only one way into the kingdom, and that was the message that was going to be given. These shepherds, after seeing the angel, were ready to listen. And once they were over the fear, they heard the great message from the shepherd. So we see the Savior is born. It's going to be born in Bethlehem. Interesting that no one in that day and time was really looking at Bethlehem. The prophecies were there. We talked about in Micah, other prophecies talking about where Jesus was going to be born. Yet, you know, there wasn't a panel of Pharisees and Sadducees kind of focused in on Bethlehem to see when Jesus was going to arrive. There wasn't an appearance of that. No one was looking in stables, mangers. God's prophecy was fulfilled that night. Look at the message there. "Fear not, for I am with you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the sign, you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now that's something you don't see every day. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A sign to you. God's prophecy fulfilled that night. Think of the words that describe this. It was great. Exciting. Great to see this happening. Great to see the prophecies fulfilled. It was exciting in the fact that this wasn't happening in seclusion. This was happening. The angels proclaiming it. And it was an unbelievable thing happening. It was powerful. The very presence of God was coming to earth. It was awesome. God with us. It was historic. The world was changed by the presence of this baby. It was heavenly. Imagine the angels. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, read the whole verse here. It was revealed to them, and they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. The angels were in the presence of God. They were worshiping God. They were in that angelic realm. And yet they saw the relationship between God and created man. And now God was sending himself to become the incarnate God-man, to live on earth, to buy our salvation, to purchase our salvation by his death. And the angels, I can't imagine, is talks about the angel making this announcement, then the host joining him, watching this transpire for them, what it must have been like. It was earth-changing. The world was going to be different. It happened right from that point. Herod sought to kill the baby and killed hundreds of, maybe thousands of children trying to squash this out. And it was eternal. This changed our destiny. We became possible to be in the family of God with a promise of a future. The Savior in Bethlehem. We were ready for a Savior. The Jews were ready for peace in their lives. They were looking for a Messiah to come and deliver them from Roman rule and headship. Jesus was the Messiah, but a very different one than many of them were looking for. They were expecting a political leader who would deliver them from Roman rule, a Savior delivering them from sickness and hardship in their lives. The reality is, for us, God wasn't delivering the Savior we wanted. We saw maybe our greatest needs. Maybe if our greatest need was technology, God would have sent a great scientist. Maybe if it was money, an economist. If it was pleasure, he'd have sent an entertainer. But God knew our greatest need was forgiveness. So he sent a Savior to provide a way for us to be forgiven, to be part of the family of God, and to reestablish our relationship with God. Jesus was delivering us from our sin and certain death from judgment. He was establishing a spiritual kingdom and healing our sin sickness. His work was much more far-reaching than anyone could have even imagined what God's plan was. We need a sin-forgiving Redeemer for each of us. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we can't fool ourselves and say, well, you know, I'm good enough. I don't need a Savior. And maybe you think, compared to most of the world, you are. But compared to the righteousness of God, your righteousness is filthy rags. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's what the message to the shepherds were that night. This Messiah had come. So Jesus here brings peace. Verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Praising God. The message continued from Gabriel, or whatever archangel that was delivering this message, with great praise. I can only imagine what this must have been like. Because it says when the angel appeared, the sky was full. And now a multitude came. Not a quartet. A multitude of angels. Could have said a legion. That would have been 1,000. But a multitude. The sky was filled. Crying out, glory to God in the highest. From an angelic perspective, they were acknowledging what God was doing in bringing this child himself into the world to proclaim the truth. This is happening, and the sky was filled with angels. From our perspective of praise of God, to imagine what God did because he loved us, How powerful. So we see here, these angels proclaim this, filled the sky, spoke out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace to God's people. It's interesting, when you see verse 14 here, and I kind of got sucked into this when I first started reading this. I talked to Tom about it because I had known it, but I'd never really looked into it. In the King James Version, it actually says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. That's different. Remember what it said in the ESV? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, as I did a little bit of research, and I had to really dig out and dust off some Greek books, and I have to admit I did use the internet, and come to find out, in the earlier manuscript, in this word, there was a sigma added to the end, which changed the translation to what we have in the ESV and the NIV and the New American Standard. And the King James Version and the older writings of that used the later manuscripts that had dropped that S, and it changed the message here. And what's interesting is how much the world has grabbed hold of the King James Version message there. You see it on greeting cards. Two or three of the commentators, I don't know why this became so prominent, they talked about Charlie Brown's Christmas Story. And the very end of that, Charlie Brown makes that statement. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Now, that's a great message. The idea of peace to all men, goodwill to all men. And that's exciting for us to hear, and certainly we need that in our world. But is that the peace that Jesus came to bring? Is that the peace that he really brought to us? In Luke chapter 12, verses 51 to 53, Jesus says, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. There will be a division, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. As Jesus came, he put forth a message that was going to divide people, because either you receive Jesus Christ or you deny the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One brings to eternal life and one to certain death in our lives. The ESV, the New American Standard, the NIV all translate this with the idea of peace among those with whom he is pleased. It is a powerful message for the world, but much more so for those who are of the household of God. For those of us who sit here today who have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, who have accepted him as personal Lord and Savior, we are in favor with God. Why? God was lucky to get Steve Lawson. Right? No. By God's grace. We've just finished messages through Galatians that over and over emphasize God's grace in such a powerful way. So in this message, the reality is this powerful message that the shepherds received was one that God was delivering to his people. We need a Savior. We see the transforming power of this message that was portrayed during the life of Jesus Christ. The fishermen that he called to be his disciples, lives were transformed from being fishers of fish to being fishers of men. Men that were called that after 3 years of ministering with Jesus Christ turned the known world upside down with the gospel, who all died a martyr's death proclaiming who he was. For the dishonest tax collector who came to meet Jesus, that totally flipped his world till he returned everything he had stolen and then some to all he had hurt. To the woman caught in adultery, ready to be stoned, turned her life around to following Jesus Christ. To the thief on the cross in the last moments of his death, who met the Messiah and changed his eternity. This message has brought peace to all whose lives have been changed and given us strength to carry on throughout our lives in all that we do. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful message as we face our world. This is the good news that changed everything, that brought peace to our lives, those in His favor and God's grace. So imagine the shepherds on the side of the hill. The angel has appeared and made this proclamation. The host of angels have appeared and proclaimed it. They've got a sign in Bethlehem, not far away. They're right on the hillside. What do? Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now notice what they didn't say. They didn't say, "Let us go over and see if this is really true or not. You know, maybe this is just AI of first century." No. Let us go see this thing that has happened. There was authority from the angels in a powerful way. What did they do? They had to go see. Well, then what did they do? Well, if you go on down to verse 20, I'm stealing the very end of the story here. It says, after they had seen Mary and Joseph and the baby, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told to them. They went back on the side of the hill, laid down, and went to sleep. I don't think so. I can imagine them sitting there with the sheep on the hillside, and as they laid there, they began to talk. "Did you see that baby? Do you remember what the angel said? Were you as scared as I was?" I don't think they probably slept all night. But then what did they do? Well, they went about their business and didn't say anything. I don't think so. Matter of fact, it became known. Herod heard the stories and the things that were being told. I think they proclaimed it. I think the very next day, as soon as they ran into another shepherd on the hillside, "You would not believe what happened to us last night." But you got to believe it. They had to tell. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? The good news to us, who are part of God's family, what are you going to do? Do you remember when you first received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I was 9 years old. Went down to the cross, went down to the altar, knelt. Pastor Harold Aldridge shared with me the message he had shared. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. That night I was baptized. I didn't touch the ground for 3 days, I don't believe. I was so excited. Had to tell everybody. I had a friend of mine. I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and this kid had moved into the neighborhood, and we'd become friends, and went over to stay with him one night, and as we were in his room, we began talking, and I led him to Christ that night. Got up the next morning. He went and had to tell his whole family, sitting there at the table. He just blurted out, "Steve shared Christ with me last night. I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm a Christian." Then we went out to play. And he's told everybody. I'm going to be honest, I was a little embarrassed. I almost wanted to pull him aside and say, "Randy, you got to calm down a little bit. These people are going to think we're crazy." But I didn't. Do you remember what it was like? Oh, for that joy to hold on in my life. Christmas is a great yearly reminder of this great news we need to tell. It is also a great opportunity. More people are open to attending worship services around Christmas and Easter, even more so at Christmas. They're open to come, to hear, to relate. You can share this message boldly. Do you ever walk through Walmart or Publix, and the Christmas carols are playing, and all of a sudden one comes on that's got the message, the real message in it, not jingle bells, but a real message of Christmas, and you're with somebody and you say, "Do you know what it's about?" It's an open opportunity. It's paved wide open for us to share this message with those around us. You can share it. the cards that we've been talking about for our carol sing and the Christmas Eve service. More of your neighbors are willing to attend that just by a mention because it's Christmas. The great message is here. And guess what? We've been commanded. We have a commission. Matthew chapter 20, verses 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. When Jesus left, he commissioned the disciples and us to share this message. We have a commission to tell the world, to make disciples. To share that message, though, you've got to know the reason for the season. It's not about jingle bells and it's not about snowmen. It's about Jesus. Proclaiming this message from the place of knowing this Savior in our hearts, praising with a voice of redemption in our hearts. We have a story to tell to the nations. Most of the people you're going to talk to in our neighborhoods have heard the Christmas story. It may not be real to them, but they probably heard it. But if the Holy Spirit is moving as you share that message, it will pierce their hearts and conviction will come. My challenge to you is to seek for God to give you boldness that when the opportunity pops up, and it will, to be bold to share that message. Father, as we come today, I thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to hear the message of the shepherds on the hillside, hearing about the birth of Jesus, going to see the baby lying in a manger, hearing the angels proclaim it, and I believe then sharing it themselves. And Lord, I pray in our hearts today as we acknowledge that angelic message, as we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that message has become real to us, Lord, may we proclaim a desire and a willingness and a boldness to share that message with those around us. Take us from this place of worship today into the fields that are white into harvest. Let the Holy Spirit use us in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to stand and join and go tell it on a mountain. There are not many mountains in Florida, so there's a good place to share.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled.